This podcast is brought to you by
the website of doom.com.
Gouda cheese.
Gouda cheese, Gouda cheese, Gouda cheese, Gouda cheese. I don't know what the fuck.
I don't know. I'm more of a Wensleydale.
Really, Gromit?
Not even Wensleydale. Oh, come on.
Everyone likes a Wensleydale.
I never had that until you sent me some.
Oh, yeah, I sent you Wallace and Gromit Wensleydale, didn't I?
Yep. And I still can't. I washed it as best as I could. Because, look, well, it was waxed and then wrapped in plastic, you know?
Right.
But it still had a bit of a cheesy smell to it. But I washed it as clean as I could and kept the wrapper. Well, I kept the sticker, you know, and put it in. It's actually stuck to the frame of the poster that it matches.
Nice.
Yeah.
Curse the Were-Rabbit?
Yep. And it was good cheese. I hated to eat it. Took me a long time before I finally went, it's just cheese. Still eat it.
Movie tie-ins like that are kind of, you know, yeah, I ate the Wednesday. I bought some Wensleydale for myself. I ate it. It was good cheese.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I have a bottle of it's not mine, actually. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. Elizabeth was gifted a bottle, so it's not mine at all. But Elizabeth was given a bottle of water from the Jesus Christ, why am I blanking? End of the World?
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's got a picture of, you know, of Simon Pegg and the rest of the cast on the bottle. And it's like, well, you know, it's full of water. I mean, the water will be good until the end of the world.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, usually, you know, I don't like keeping things that are functional things for collectability. It just feels wrong.
I can see that.
Okay, well, let's do this.
Ladies of Earth, gentlemen, this is a message. Mars Needs Podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome from live-ish. When I'm recording it, it's live from a new chair that doesn't make as much noise. I'm very excited about that. From Portland, Oregon, on a kind of sunny, kind of chilly, about to rain kind of day. I am JJ Hawkins, and with me this week is someone who once started a joke and got the whole world laughing.
I hope so. Usually my jokes just kind of go, ew, or meh. But hey, if they made it laugh, you know, then Jason Wood, being me, did his job.
Hell yeah. So, did you hear that latest Jason Wood chat? I can't even say it. That Jason almost said Jason Woodchuck. Did you hear that latest Jason Woodchuck? He did chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if Jason Wood did chuck wood.
Wow, I'm impressed. I didn't know he could.
Holy shit, Jason. You know how once when we were under the influence, we came up with a list of names that you could never, ever, ever name a child?
Yeah.
I don't think Charles was one of them, but you can never name a child Charles.
No.
So help me if someone was named Chuck Wood.
He better get thrown a lot. I mean, it's like, you know, me too. It's like, all right, you better throw me too because, you know, it's my fault.
Yeah.
I should have known better.
That's right up there with Holly and Robin.
Ew, yeah, that's even worse because it's just off enough, you know.
Yeah, Robin Wood was one that I remember when we were doing that. Other people were just as inebriated as we were. We're like, what's wrong with Robin Wood? I'm like, what's not wrong with Robin Wood? It's like, it's not Robin Hood. Yeah, it's worse.
Yes, because it gives the impression of and but not.
It's the Kmart version.
It's the. I don't know.
It's the off-brand hunchback, which is a joke for you and me. But
yep, and I'm looking at him right now.
So to explain really quickly, one time Elizabeth and I at like 3 a.m. were in a 24-hour like Walgreens or something, and it was maybe 2 years after Hunchback of Notre Dame was out. I mean, it was well beyond when toys should have been in stores, and we came upon this like 12-inch-ish?
Well, if he could stand upright, he's kind of, well, he's hunched.
He's hunchbacked, yeah.
He stands roughly about 7 inches, yeah.
But if he was a...
With like a 2-inch afro.
Yeah, if you put him next to a Barbie, he would be a hunchback Barbie size, you know, but he's roughly that scale. Yeah. this of this like rip-off brand Hunchback of Notre Dame toy. And it was so cheap and happy looking. I mean, the thing is, it was so, I mean, it looks just not all that well made, but the face they put on it was just so fucking cheery. And it was only like $2.99 or something.
Wow.
So, yeah, you never tell anybody. We had to get you this. It was so cheap. But part of the reason it was, let's face it, it was that happy and cheesy and it was that cheap. It was like that had to be bought and it had to be given to you.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I love, you know, the Disney Hunchback of Notre Dame. But I get the joke of why this is so bad that it's so funny. And actually, I even remember... I mean, looking at it in the box, I was like, holy shit, what the hell is this? You know, just automatically getting the joke. My first thought was, they had to have done this on purpose. It had to have been a joke. They didn't just, no. Yeah, I know. They're totally in on this. Okay. Yeah. I mean, all this is going through my head for like a split second.
Yeah.
And because all you can see is kind of just the face, you know, you don't, from what I remember, yeah. And then you take it out of the box and then poof. I mean, it's just got this like, static electric, you know, fright wig, bright orange hair.
Bright sticks orange. Out.
I mean, and I wasn't kidding about it being like 2 inches wide, you know, all around. And I was like, I couldn't, as soon as it popped out of the box, I could not stop fucking laughing. I think we were all about to pee ourselves at that. It's like, Jesus, this thing just gets goofier by the minute.
Yeah. Do you think you could take a picture of it and get it to me in the next day or two?
Well, actually, I did. I put it up on Facebook a while back, but I can definitely. I took a couple of them. I was like, hey, got him out of retirement, you know.
Cool, because I've fallen behind in getting podcasts published. This week was very, very challenging for me, so I'm going to try my best. We'll see what happens when you are listening to this. You'll know whether or not I failed or succeeded of getting, because last week's not up yet. I want to get last week's and this week's up this weekend.
Oh, wow, it's super.
Tired of being behind, and it's just I'm rapidly learning that my schedule is not as open as I think it is.
Ah,
either that or I'm just not very good with my new schedule of not making time to, you know, because the thing is, everybody, this is something that that kind of annoys me when people say, you know, oh, I don't have any time. Like, I do have time. We all have time.
And it's usually the same time as you had before. It's just structured differently.
It's structured differently, and I haven't adjusted to it. And, you know, let's face it, I still spend time staring at the wall. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, maybe you should spend less time looking for just the right kind of porn. Stop browsing clips.
Yeah. And, like, okay. Just, it's like, will it get the job done? Yes, it'll get the job done. Okay, and... I'm done. You know, job's done. I'm done.
There you go. That's rule one of the 7 rules for more effective Mars Needs podcast listening membership people thing. Settle for the first porn. Move on.
Yep. Hey, if it got you there, you can finish it. Anyway,
back to the days when people had VCRs and had to just deal with the same porn over and over and over.
I know. I still have my tape. Oish. Boy, that thing's old. It's nostalgic now. Come on. Nobody has those hairstyles anymore.
Well, what I think is
tops
funny
and
is
bottoms.
Nowadays, when you say, I still have my tape, you just assume like, oh, really? Who are you doing it with?
Because everybody has theirs now, yeah. No.
No. I was told a long time ago that one way to guarantee that you never want to have sex again is to see yourself have sex.
Yeah. It's like, no.
Yeah, I am not somebody who looks at myself in the mirror and goes, yeah, I would totally fuck me.
Nope. Not me either. I don't even want to catch myself in a reflection, you know, in a closet mirror. God forbid, above the bed. I really don't need to see that face.
Oh, God. I don't want to see what my ass cheeks do when I'm fucking.
I don't need to see that kind of jiggle. I was like, I get you. I mean,
it's been, okay, so our bathroom.
Okay, sheets, lights out, yeah.
Yeah. But our bathroom had, okay, so our.
Aim for the best. Anyway, yeah.
Our, Our apartment is some sort of converted something. I don't know exactly what the hell it is, but the bathrooms have windows, and the windows were turned into mirrors. And the windows open into a chamber that's like, I don't know, it's just this like empty space between the, like, maybe if you cracked it a little bit, so maybe the steam would have some place to go. But of course, two bathrooms kind of face each other, so if you open your window there and the other person opens the window, you can just see right in there of their bathroom. I don't understand what the fuck the deal is.
It is strange. It is weird. I was getting this impression that it just opened up into some weird void inside the building where it's kind of like...
That's kind of right. It's like a closet or something that's between the two. It's like a triangle space.
Oh, weird. That's where monsters come through, you know? I mean, it's like weird dimension.
I have that kind of imagination. Thank you for reminding me. And now I, once again, will be scared when I shower.
Yeah, well definitely not having a wank in that mirror.
But here's the other thing, too, is because it's not... a mirror. It is a mirror, but it's a mirror over a window, so it's not the normal height. So yeah. If I'm standing, brushing my teeth, right in front of the sink, yeah. What I can see in the mirror is basically nipples to hip line.
Okay.
Yeah, and if I am farther, if I'm just stepping out of the shower and, and I happen to look into the mirror, I can basically see, hips to knees. But my face, I never see my face in this mirror. So, secretly, I believe that there's this fat guy that lives in my bathroom. But
it's like there's a dude over there in this weird portal, and he's always there when I'm there. But that ain't me.
He has some scars that I have, but Jesus God, that guy needs to work out more.
And I've probably told this story before, but it fits in so well. I was at a hotel one time, and I've never seen that many mirrors in a bathroom. I mean, it had a shower and a tub separate, So it's like, somebody kinkier than me was designing this thing, because I think that's a hot tub with a stand-up shower, and there's mirrors everywhere. I'm like, okay, this is kind of all right. Because there's so many... everywhere. It's like reflections everywhere, so there's no hiding in this place. And stepping into the shower, I caught a glimpse of what looked like the weirdest beige frog on his hind legs stepping into the shower. I was like, what the fuck? Oh god, that was me. But if you've ever even seen somebody holding a frog, with his legs just kind of dangling there, yeah. And curved back and no ass, just go straight into legs. That was exactly what I thought. Oh, Jesus Christ.
And all of a sudden I just hear the music of you stepping into the shower going, wah, 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 wah. Okay, God. And if nobody gets that reference, because I always feel like I need to explain myself because not everybody in the podcast is in my brain. The cartoon One Froggy Evening, it's the sequence I just did was when the frog is not actually standing and dancing. It's when he's manipulating his legs. It's a very funny image in my head, especially if it's beige with Jason's face.
I've never seen a frog with a butt crack. Oh, what? I've never wanted to see that angle again. I mean, it's comical, and yet it is burned into my brain, but I was like, oh, Jesus. Somebody needs a tan and a gym membership quick.
Well, I will say I have started working out again recently. How about you?
Nope. It's too hot, man. Yeah.
No, I have, there's a couple of things that,
sucks my will to live out here.
Well, you don't have to go running outside.
No, but, it's hard to run when you have a squeaky second floor apartment, it's just,
yeah, well,
neighbors probably don't like me as is.
Well, I hate to be this West Coasty guy, but have you ever tried yoga?
I'm thinking about it.
Because that's what I've started doing a lot more. I mean, I'm trying to work my way from starting to yoga again into doing more active stuff. I'm just because I've gotten way, way out of shape, and I disgust myself.
No,
I know that when I was, so when I was living in Los Angeles, Elizabeth and I used to do yoga 3 times a week, and I admit partially the reason I did it is because my girlfriend nagged me into it. That's not a good term. She never nags me. I actually feel very bad about saying that, because if she heard that, she'd be very upset. But
heavily encouraged.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I used a shorthand there, but what it was is basically she was concerned about me, never forced me into doing it, but I would feel guilty if I didn't. So, you know, I apologize for using the word nag. It has sort of a horrible sexist connotation, and I feel bad about saying it. But anyway. But the idea is, it was weird about it. So we did the yoga like 3 times a week for, you know, it was probably 6 months. And, I kind of noticed that maybe I was getting a little bit more flexible, but I was like, you know, whatever, yoga. And then one day, and not everybody will understand this. Maybe, you know, fit people won't get this, but I've never been fit. I've always been large. And so my girlfriend and I raced to our truck. It was about a block and a half. And when I got to the truck, I wasn't winded.
Hey.
You know, when I stopped running, I just, you know, for me, running is always, always associated with usually trying not to look like the big sweaty fat guy and trying to very controlled get back into oxygen. You know, so you're not just like running to something you get on going, because I've always been, I don't want to be that person that's like, oh, that guy just let himself go.
It's like, if so I can keep it under control, I'm not there yet. You know?
Yeah, I will pass out trying to hold my breath until I can get into a spot where nobody can see me, and then I'll be like, you know, because I just, yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other psychological issue we can go into some other time.
I'm with you on that. I don't like, I can't run a flight of stairs, you know, without going, God damn it. All right. Breathe through your nose. Just don't do, you know, too loud. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Or just slightly open your mouth, clench your teeth, and breathe as heavy as you can. Just don't let them see you.
Or if I feel that I'm breathing too loud. Red. Yeah, well, I also, if I feel like I'm breathing too loud, I'll start kind of singing to myself. So it sounds like I'm singing to myself and not breathing heavily.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, I started a joke. You know, so. We may or may not explain to them why this song's so funny to us right now.
I don't think we should. I don't know. It's pretty bad.
I have no measure for that kind of thing. And, of course, now that we've mentioned it, I kind of have to.
Well, you can.
Okay, this is entirely on me. Jason has nothing to do with this. Fine. So, by the time this goes live, you'll probably have published your cartoon, right? The latest Dunce Corner? By the time I actually get this up, you'll probably have already published your latest Dunce Corner, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you haven't checked it out, Jason sent it to me because it was it deals with religious stuff, and he wanted somebody just to kind of look at it and see if he felt that it had gone too far for the website of Doom. I said no, but I also, as you'll see from what I'm about to say, have very I don't really have a good measure of this kind of thing, so I send it to Elizabeth, who has a lot more religious cred than I do. And she said also that it's okay, that it's, you know, it's pretty cute. Yeah, anyway, if you haven't seen it yet, go look at it and then come back here. Anyway, and you'll see. So when Jason and I, before this podcast, were discussing it, and although his cartoon is about Moses, I don't remember exactly how the idea of a crucifixion came up, but when you're dealing with religion, crucifixion is always one of those things that, you know, it's a big topic.
Yeah, I wonder how we got there. Well, we're talking about, basically, it's like, a lot of fiction you see, Jesus looked just like a white guy, you know?
It's that's
like
right. Oh, yeah, that's right. And you said there was a movie coming out now where he looked like one of the Bee Gees.
It's been out. It was called Son of God.
Okay.
And it's like, and he's just white guy. It looks like a cross between, you know, like Andy Gibb and Sawyer from Lost. I mean, it's just kind of white guy, you know? It's like, I don't think so, but anyway.
And then I realized that that if you wanted to do a Bee Gees Jesus movie, that he should be crucified and start singing, I started a joke that started the whole world laughing. And then that whole – then we played the song, and the whole – the lyrics to all of that song when put into a Jesus connotation are hilarious. And I started to cry, and that started the whole world laughing. I mean, I'm sorry. I'll put it at the end of the podcast.
Oh, God.
It makes me giddy how silly it is. So anyway.
Had that song been around, you know, with the Pythons, I think Monty Python might have even used. I mean, it's like, it's just kind of got that whole Life of Brian kind of ending. It's like, oh, this is just in poor taste, but I can't stop laughing.
Well, and part of it is because I've always hated that song, because that song is, it's one of those songs that just feels self-important.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're singing about, but they fucking mean it.
Yeah, but it also has that whole, like, sad clown kind of feel. Like, it's like, why am I, you're making me try to feel an emotion that I didn't really need to right now, you know? It's like, right. I don't know what you're trying to get across, but...
And Elizabeth and I have talked about this whole phase of songs that maybe you don't understand what they mean, but somehow you get the feeling that they're like, well, okay, the song Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer.
Yeah?
I don't know what the fuck he's singing about in that song. I really don't. But that song's depressing. I don't know why.
Hmm. Yeah.
Just something about it feels like the dancer's dying or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, there's a whole comfort level in there. It's like, you know, that you don't get, like, you know, just it's not a friendly embrace, and it's not like a romantic. It's just kind of like, I mean, one of you is on his last leg, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, eek. Yeah.
And it's kind of like to stay with the whole the Elton John thing. That song, Daniel.
Yeah.
That song's about death too, and I don't know why.
Hmm. It's been a long time since I've heard that one. It may not be one that I listen to very often.
Yeah, but the whole, like, oh, God, it looks like Daniel must be the stars in my eyes.
Oh, yeah. It's like that kind of, it's like, oh, yeah. It's like talking about somebody that's already dead, you know?
Yeah, because even that's got the whole, you know, Daniel, my brother, you are older than me. Do you still feel the pain of the scars that won't heal? Your eyes have died. Okay, so at least he's blind. Yeah. But you see more than I. You know, Daniel, you're a scar. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck that song's about other than a blind kid.
Yeah. Okay, it is on my Elton John greatest hit. I'll have to listen to that later.
Yeah, a lot of Elton John songs. I'm like, okay, this kind of gives me a feeling of something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are a lot more, you know, okay, Crocodile Rock, sure. That song is basically about doing a dance called the Crocodile Rock, sure, whatever.
Okay.
And he dressed in the same outfit that CeeLo later wore. And if you on the Muppet Show, and you can think of the crocogators down there going.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, I'd forgotten about that.
I more than probably is normal. Well, just because I think I've said this to you before, or I know Aaron and I talked about it recently, how I crave new music. It's hard to find new music, but I fucking crave it all the time.
Hmm, yeah.
And so I'll go on to YouTube on that first page where it'll have like something new that's published, and I'll just try to go through the wormhole of just like, I've never heard that, click. Oh, that's terrible. I've never heard this. Well, that's okay. Yeah, and I've started listening to the radio, but the radio is kind of annoying because it'll play like, you know, a couple of new songs, and then it plays, you know, The Cure, and I actually had the thought earlier this week. I know there are a lot of Cure fans out there, but yeah. I just had this thought earlier when I was listening to a Cure song this week. I was like, how is the Cure ever a thing? I'm sorry. I just don't get them.
I don't really know enough of them to, you know, make that call, but I never gotten into it, so I guess, you know, it's hard for me to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of songs there that I know better than others. Like, you know, I know Love Song, and I know like Friday I'm in Love, but this was just playing more of like the, you know, more obscure Cure stuff, and I'm like, you know, I get it. You're sad.
And have been for how long now?
Yeah, but you know, that kind of music is just never been my forte.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly a Morrissey kind of guy.
No, you know, I want music. I mean, more than one emotion. You know, I've got my downer albums. You know, but you know, I was like, you know,
I want songs that make me feel something when I don't even know why. Daniel, you're a star. No, I'm done.
It's like, you know, I would rather have something that's getting me out of my funk, you know, than enforcing a funk I didn't even know I needed or wanted. Yeah.
Well,
or
was in. Oh, sorry.
No, that's all. That's a.
Well, and then you know, and then there's this wave of songs now that I've tried to share with Elizabeth that I'm like, so I'll hear these songs on the radio and I'll be like, okay, I like 3/4 of the song, but I don't like this part. Like, there's a song out there now called Come With Me Now by the Congos.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most part, it's a sort of, like, almost Zydeco bluesy number. It's really cool. You know, it's the kind of thing you just want to listen to and stamp your foot. And then it goes into this weird emo part.
It's like, you had me until you dropped me.
Yeah, so when they're doing the whole, you know, come with me now. I'm going to show you how. You know, okay, that's cool. That's got a nice, you know, steady boom boom.
It's got a good hook, yeah.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden when you get into the, you know, stay with me. You're like, no!
Ew.
No! You ruined it. Why did you let Maroon 5 in here for a second?
That's another one I can't get into. And yeah. I've heard enough of that to go, yeah, you know, they got their fans. And maybe I'm missing something. I don't know.
A vagina?
Nope. I'm missing.
I don't miss the vagina. I get it every time. They let me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm missing one. All right, it's just, you know what I mean. Speaking of, okay, now I gotta find my depressing song. Where's my Wank Bank songs? All right, here we go.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Yeah, cock ring. Sorry, I don't know why cock ring. It just had, he said, you know, your English sound to it. Yeah.
I will tell you, there's a song out that I just heard for the first time last week. And you know enough about me that if a song basically has, you know, it basically has a bass and drum and nothing else.
Yeah.
And it's got a good bass riff to it.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you what the rest of the song's like. I can't tell you what the lyrics are like. I cranked it up and listened to that fucking bass line. It'd be like, you know, it's pretty well, like, it takes me a while to listen to, like, to get into the lyrics of like a Sabbath song.
Yeah.
Because I fucking love Geezer Butler so much.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, even on the new album, I was like, yeah, there's other stuff there, but this is not Geezer's best album.
Yeah.
It's a fairly good Sabbath album, but Geezer's not doing his Geezy stuff as much as I wanted. Anyway, but that's another point entirely. But okay, so this band is called Big Data.
I've heard Yeah.
Yeah, and their song Dangerous?
Yes.
I can't tell you what that song is about, but goddamn, I love that bass line.
Goddamn it. Hang on, I know I've heard this, because it is. There it is. It's on my iTunes. I bought it.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, it kind of goes back to what I thought I was going to get to see them live, but shit kind of went wrong. Well, they didn't go wrong. They just went more fabulous. They were opening for Fits and the Tantrums the same night that I thought I was going to go until I found out Paul McCartney was playing the same night. Right. So, you know.
That's how we ended last week.
Yeah. I it was like a couple of bucks for that little EP they put out. It's got like four songs. But it's damn catchy. I liked it, yeah.
Okay. I've only heard the one song. I kind of want to hear more.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Were we off recording last week when I was talking to you about going to see Raw? I think we were done. I don't think that actually made the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've decided not to go.
Oh. Okay.
For basically just it's... when Elizabeth and I were talking about it, because we both want to go, we do want to go, but we are also trying to possibly move and our mattress is old. We have some things we want to spend some money on, and basically we came to the conclusion that if we went, we wouldn't want to get the cheapest possible seats.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do that, you might as well watch out at home, you know.
Yeah, so that's kind of, you know, it's like we're going, you know, she's more disappointed than I. Like last night we watched a documentary. It was like on the 50 years of WWE. It was the history of the WWE we watched on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
And a couple times through it, Elizabeth was like, you should just go without me. And I'm like, no, we'll do it together. But I mean, so she's bummed too, and we're going to go. They come here. Raw's been here twice in 2 years. They did SmackDown here last December. They'll be back. So we just decided to wait.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're in a city where people, will actually, tour, so.
Yeah,
they'll be back, I mean, hell, I hadn't been to a match in years until, WrestleMania, but like I said, that was nosebleeds, but it was just part of the event,
Right, but your nosebleeds cost about like an episode. Raw tickets were not as bad as what I would have thought, but they'd get up there. So it's like the cheap seats are like $25. The next seats are like $65, and the top tier are like $99.
Hmm. Which if you're gonna do that, you better hope you're close enough. I don't know, I guess to the ring. But if you can't get like, in the first like three or four rows, you might as well get like the next level back where you can actually see the stage.
Yeah.
Because if you're on the ground, you've got to see through all these heads looking up at the ring, if you're not close enough.
Yeah.
At least that was my idea when the first match I saw. And it wasn't televised, but it was, it was filmed here in Jackson. I wasn't filmed. I was thinking it was a SmackDown, but. No, it wasn't live. It was just one of their
house shows. Are supposed to be a lot of fun, though. From what I understand, the house shows are where they kind of cut loose a bit.
Maybe so. The only thing that cut loose there was the air conditioning that didn't work.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. So they, I don't know. And
so
I'm
that
sure
night you could truly smell what The Rock was cooking.
Ew. Except, yeah, well, the this was after.
I know. Was going for the ball sweat joke. Sorry.
Oh. Ooh, that is strudel. Oh, if that's strudel, I ain't eating it. Nope. Next time I'm in Germany and they offer me strudel, I was like, I know what that smells like. And yeah, it smells a lot like the Rock's cock. And I'm not going to, I don't have to be teabagged to know what that smells like. I'm good. I'm good.
So, on that note, have you done anything fun this week?
Actually, no, I haven't. It's been kind of a dull week for me.
Sweet.
I guess. Well, last week felt, like I did something, but...
What did you do last week? I don't remember.
Like three movies and a concert.
Right.
So,
yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
I did go to the movies this week.
Ah.
I did see How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah?
I agree with you. It's kind of hard to discuss without spoilers.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It is...
good.
It is a worthy successor to the first film.
Yeah.
If I knew somebody that was possibly going to take children to it, I would probably give them the big spoiler just because... Because we walked away from it. Okay, so I'm going to make a time note right here. I'm going to give a massive spoiler on How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yeah. So if you care about it, come back in about, 2 minutes. It's going to be real quick. I just want to say one thing, but it is a huge spoiler.
Yeah.
You've been warned now. Okay, so I can't imagine trying to explain to a young child why Toothless killed Hiccup's father.
Yeah. That was like, even that took me out of, I mean, not out of, but I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
It's just that little bit. I just absolutely would not want to have to do that. The rest of the film, I think, is fine. But that moment of trying to explain the Call of the Wild and everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even just being forced into it, you know, actually he was trying to kill Hiccup, but, you know.
Yeah, and then you also...
So it took the hit, you know.
Yeah. But then you also get the, well, are all animals susceptible to that? Is Georgie going to kill Dad? Or try to kill me?
Yeah, is the dog going to turn on us, you know? Ooh.
So, you know, that's the big thing that I would probably tell a parent, because I'm like, okay, you might have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But it was a great film, beautiful. Did you see it in 3D?
Yes.
I did not.
It was a 3D evening, so yeah, I just did them.
That's right, you told me that, because you saw something else in 3D.
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, which I also didn't even know was in 3D.
I didn't know either. I just, when I was looking up times, and those are the two that worked, I went, oh, well, 3D's 3D, okay.
Okay. Just
take my glasses, I'll be good.
Yeah, I went to see it in the theater that I'd love to go see movies in, so I saw it on the really, really big screen. And because nice. We didn't go with friends for a change, I got to sit in the second row.
Got to sit where you wanted to.
Yeah. Because all my friends are well, okay, so like when we went to see X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
And we went with friends, and I tend not to push for it where I want to sit, because although, yes, I do prefer to sit where people are not in my view, you know, I'm not going to, you know, for the most part, you know, it's not going to, like, completely ruin my day, man, if I have to sit somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so we went up to the balcony, and this particular balcony is high enough that I have to be, because of my vertigo, I have to be a little careful.
Yeah.
Just because I get a little, like, when we sat in the front of the balcony, even just sitting down, I know, you know, if I looked straight forward and saw the light fixtures that are right in front of you.
Yeah.
Not blocking the view, but, you know, they're kind of right there, and I need to just, I would get, just even thinking about it, my stomach flips.
Then you would have hated my seat at WrestleMania, because I was, like, on the edge of the, like, highest level, looking down over the ring, over the ground in front of me, you know, the lighting fixtures and all that shit.
Yeah, that might have given me some trouble. I don't know.
It gave me trouble getting to my seat, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, like, I don't know that I would have necessarily wanted to stand and jump when Daniel Bryan won.
I didn't. Only, I hate to say it.
Only to break his goddamn neck.
Yeah, anyway, yeah.
But, So we went up to the balcony to see Days of Future Past, and then they didn't go down into the area that's the front. They went up, and I'm like, wait, you went to the balcony and you're going farther back?
Ew.
Where the fuck are you people going?
Jesus, that's the makeout level. We're not that close of friends. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, it was fine. It was fine, yeah. And I enjoyed the movie and everything, but it was just like, but don't let to be. Yeah, and the, you know, and it's also that particular theater, and I think this is really cool that they serve food, but they only serve food to the balcony.
Ah,
so
okay.
If you want just the, as they put it, the quote unquote cinematic experience, you can sit downstairs and you can, you know, you can buy a slice of pizza or you can buy popcorn or whatever. But if you want to get like a burger, you have to go up in the balcony. I think that's fair.
Okay. Keeps the, you know, the eating noises and stuff away from, you know, just watching the movie.
Right, and like if you're dying to see the movie and you don't want a waitress to walk in front of you with a plate of food going, 39?
Oh, God.
they don't actually call it out. You get flags and they come to you and stuff, but, you know, and if you,
okay.
And you don't have to, if you don't go in the balcony and go back a couple rows, you don't necessarily have to have them walk in front of you. Like when we sat in the front row of the balcony, you know, it's not like anybody bugged us
Yeah.
it did not in any way, shape, or form ruin Captain America 2, because once the movie started, I forgot that I was vomiting high.
It didn't get interrupted by, you know, your stereotypical diner waitress, you know, yelling at you, yeah. smacking gum.
Exactly. Who ordered the tuna melt?
You want an extra cup with that sugar? Yeah, here you go.
Oh, did you want more ranch dressing for your fries?
Excuse me, let's be Portland. I'm sorry, that was not Portland enough. Excuse me.
Did you want more ranch dressing for your tots?
Ooh, ranch dressing and tots. Dude. Now here it would be, you want more gravy with that? You want more gravy with that sugar? I'm like, oh God, no, thank you. No. My mashed potatoes are fine. I don't need, you know, extra gravy. It's already got gravy.
Now, for here, the two things you would hear, like, mashed potatoes you would not get here. It would be tots. And the two things you would get would, did you want more bacon on those tots? Or did you want more ranch dressing?
Yeah. No. Ketchup? Ew.
Ketchup?
Ketchup?
Philistine.
tourist.
But I will say, I do love it, this particular... So I love movie theaters that have, like, a seasoning bar. Not the kind, like, if you go to a Regal theater, you can buy that little $2, like, butt plug of seasoning.
Yeah.
Fuck that. I like it when they just have shakers out, you know, it's usually, like, Parmesan cheese, barbecue seasoning, like, nutritional yeast. I love nutritional yeast on popcorn.
Never heard of that.
Nutritional yeast?
Yeah.
Or brewer's yeast?
I've heard of it, but not on popcorn.
You can get you can get it in just flake form any place, lots of places that sell bulk foods. I know for a fact you could get it at Rainbow if you were so inclined in the Jackson area. In Portland you can buy it at just the Fred Meyer, cuz the grocery store has a bulk seasonings aisle. But yeah, it gives it brewer's yeast, but it's sort of an almost cheesy kind of flavor, and it's full of B vitamins, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I never put that into a concept. I'll think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I've been doing it basically since I worked at Rainbow, because that's where people turned me on to it. But also, I love the fact that this particular theater has Cajun spice.
Ooh.
For your popcorn, so I always put like nutritional yeast and then a ton of fucking Cajun spice. So then by the time I'm done with my popcorn, my soda's gone.
It's like, well, it helps soak it up so you don't have to pee in the middle of the movie, you know?
Exactly.
That's what the popcorn's for, is to help soak up all the sodas. You don't have to pee.
Yeah. And then I did one other thing this week that I told you about a little bit, but I just think is a funky enough story that I want to share a little bit about it. Not to go into too much depth because I don't want to talk about work. But so this week I was the boring part of a caper film.
Okay.
Because if you look at think of the plot to pretty much any caper film you have ever seen, or pretty much any movie where they pulled off a heist, it's always that something of high value is being transported somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're going to intercept it.
Okay.
So this week, I transported some photographs that are well known.
Mm-hmm.
And they were worth $3.5 million.
Well.
Let me just say that again. $3.5 million worth of art.
That's not that ain't chintzy. That ain't, you know.
And for some reason, they shipped it to Portland, and then we had to get it to Eugene. Eugene's about 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't have it shipped directly, but
to fucking Eugene. I know. There's nothing about this that makes sense, which is part of what makes it sound like just this cheesy ass caper movie. Because I was the guy who put the paintings or the pictures in a van and drove it. So, you know, I'm the guy who gets either shot in the head or handcuffed, or, you know, gets told not to remember anybody's face and just left there crying in the back of the truck.
Yeah, it's like no, you know, you get pantsed and, you know, and a hood over your, and, you know, left by the dumpster somewhere. It's like, God damn it, man, I'm gonna have a hard time explaining this, you know. Boss is gonna kill me.
I did tell my boss later. I said so I did that. I transported the stuff on Wednesday, and I said on Friday after the job was done. You know, of course it crossed my mind that that was valuable enough that I could have easily taken them out. Not easily, but I could have taken them out, hid them, trashed the van on the side of the road, set it on fire, you know, and then called and gone, I don't know what happened. It was the weirdest thing. And then, and they're like, yeah, and then you could run off to Mexico or something. I was like, no. Then you continue to work here for at least 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, you don't fence this shit right away.
Oh, of course not.
That's stupid.
Like, I'm smarter than that, you know?
Yeah, you work here for like 6 months to a year after you pull the job. Then you start to look for a way to unload it. Then you find a place to retire to.
Yeah.
Like, even if you only got half the value.
That's still, you know, over $1 million, which will, you know, tie over pretty well for a while.
And, you know, let's face it, that's tax-free money.
Exactly. Hey.
So, yeah. Of course, I didn't do that. Of course, I took them. I took them to the University of Oregon, and it was there was no problem at all, other than the fact that the people on the other end are angry at us for no fucking reason. But that's another thing entirely.
It's like, what? They actually made it here, but we sent a guy to intercept. Oh wait, sorry. We were supposed to have it hijacked mid process. That's why we had it shipped to you first, so you could take it here, so our guy could intercept you. And then we could file a big insurance claim saying we never got it. And then, of course, we actually got it because our guy has it stashed, you know. And we win twice, but y'all actually got it here, and we're angry.
So, That's a much better story than other than the fact that we told them we were going to uncrate it and put it in a van. They were upset that we didn't bring them the crate.
Oh.
Like, you uncrated it? Yes, we uncrated it. If you look back at our emails, it says that we will uncrate it, inspect it, load it into a van, and deliver it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we did.
Yeah. Okay.
It was one of those things that when the person, they were like, what we expected them in a crate. I was like, yeah, we took them out of the crate because the crate was huge. They went, oh, you took it out of the crate? Let me make a note. And then grabbed a pen. And you know how there are certain noises that just pass judgment? The clicking of that pen was the most chastising click. It was like I ended up making the trip with our part-timer, our summer part-timer. It was like a 16-year-old kid.
Okay.
And even the 16-year-old kid, when we left, he said, when she clicked that pen, did it felt like getting chastised by a kindergarten teacher? Like, yeah, it did.
Ooh. It had that click, like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like,
uh-huh. Even though, yeah. You know, it was, in reality, it was just like, oh, let me make a note. But that was the loudest sound ever. Yeah.
got my click pen. I was like, I'll make a note of that.
Mm-hmm. Your click pen's louder than my click pen.
Yeah. Sounds like you're messing with it.
Oh, yes, please scold me again. But, yeah, so that the ending of that story is not that exciting other than the fact that, you know, hey, it was a 2.5-hour drive there and then traffic, so it was about a 3-hour drive back. And then with a lunch break while we're unpacking, that's like a 6-hour day. And so that was most of my day that day.
Hey, whee! That's all right. Sure. Nice little road trip. Why not?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I would have taken it in a heartbeat. But yeah, the idea of like the Fast and the Furious, you know, description. Okay, you know, he's like, I've seen how this works in movies, you know?
I have seen this other movie. Yeah, I just have never lived this side because you never see that side. All you ever see is like the establishing shot of them putting, you know, the bags that have the dollar sign printed on them in the back of the Brinks truck. You know, that's the only development you get of them. You never get to see them, you know, wake up that morning, kiss their wife and go, okay, well, I'm taking the expensive R to Eugene today. I hope you have a nice day. I'm sorry. I'll be driving all day, so I will be out of contact. Feel free to text me whenever you want. You know, just realize I won't be able to say anything until I get to Eugene. Oh, okay. Have a good day. Enjoy your work. Okay. Bye. Get on the bus. You know, listen to an interview. Actually, I see this would have been Wednesday. So, yeah, Wednesday on the bus, I was listening to a really good interview with on Talk is Jericho with it was The Edge and Jericho both talking to Paul Heyman. It's a great interview. Wow. So, yeah, okay. Listening to that on the bus and going, oh, shit, just unplugged my earplug. Yeah, so just, you know, listening to a good interview on the bus, and you get off the bus, and you get in the, because of my job, it's a little weird, I take a bus halfway, and then I get the van that I ended up taking the stuff in, and drive there, it was full of shredding that I picked up from my other, you know, from the other place, and unload the shredding from the van, and then waiting for the kid to get there, because he gets there a little later than me, so then I load the pictures onto the van. Get them all secured with moving blankets to where nothing can move because you know it's $3.5 million and everything's cool. Everything's secure. You know, a baby would be safe back there. It was so well done, which is the other reason why it was so funny that they were mad. And so then, then the kid shows up and you grab your coffee, get in the. No, that's right. The coffee wasn't made. That's right. I start to make coffee. You realize there's no grounds. So then you chastise your boss for forgetting to buy coffee. Okay, well, I'm just going to have to get coffee on the road someplace with $3.5 million worth of art.
And then just because you didn't get 50 cents worth of coffee grounds. Come on. Yeah.
You
know.
So then you drive down the road and then you realize that you've driven for about 45 minutes. You're about to hit Salem and you don't want to try to get coffee in Salem. You want to get coffee before that. So you pull over into a gas station. So this is, by the way, you do realize I'm telling you the movie that you didn't see. So this is why this movie never gets made, just so people know why I'm doing this. So then you pull over to a gas station to get some coffee, and this was fucked up. Where the coffee usually is in a gas station was a completely stripped, bare area. I mean, the wall had nothing. It was the steel shelf where you could tell the coffee pot should be.
Yeah.
But there was just nothing there. It was just wasted space. And I just kind of looked at it and went, what? And then the guy behind the counter went, yeah, we don't do coffee.
What? The here? Come on, this is like Coffee Central. I mean, unless I was like in South America, this is like the second most coffee, you know, part of the world. Come on, man.
Yeah, and so then you get out of the store, the gas station convenience store. You look around
fart
so you don't
on
have
way
to
out the door.
Yeah, really. You look around for some place where you maybe don't have to, you know, get back on the interstate to get coffee, and you realize across the street there's a McDonald's, and you go, meh, whatever. So you go to McDonald's, and all you really want is a coffee, but you feel bad just getting a dollar, you know, and you're not going to go through the drive-thru, because I hate going through drive-thrus. That's just a thing with me.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it either.
And so when you go one-on-one, all you really want is a $1 medium coffee, but you're like, okay, fine, fuck it. I will get an egg and cheese biscuit.
Yeah, and a toy.
I don't normally eat eggs, but I was like, okay, I'll just eat an egg and cheese biscuit. I order an egg and cheese biscuit and a medium coffee.
Yeah.
And then when she rings it up, I see egg McMuffin minus sausage. And a cup of coffee. And like I didn't want a McMuffin. I wanted an egg and cheese biscuit. It's cool. It's not a big deal. I just wanted an egg and cheese biscuit.
Yeah.
So then she rings up some other things, and all of a sudden it's like $8.
Huh?
I'm like, for an egg and cheese biscuit and a cup of coffee. And then somebody comes out of the back and goes, no, ring it up this way. And then it was $2-something.
Okay. That's a little better.
So then they hand me a bag. The bag has 2 egg and cheese biscuits in it. Like, but what about my coffee?
You wanted
coffee? So then I end up ordering a dollar cup of coffee.
It's like, just give me the coffee and I'll get the fuck out of here.
So, but I'd already paid for the bacon cheese biscuits. So then you get back in the van, you're driving, you have you know, a cup of coffee, which McDonald's now puts the cream and sugar in it for you.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, you don't have any control over that, huh?
Yeah, it was not nearly enough of either, actually. It was just a sort of meh coffee, but it was coffee, so it's cool.
And yeah. It's like hotel room coffee. Just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and the egg and cheese biscuit, where the biscuit was definitely the best part. So then you crumble that
the
up.
Rubber biscuit.
And then you continue driving, just listening to the music until you get to about, 20 minutes outside of Eugene, pull over, get gas. It's Oregon, so you can't pump your own gas. You stay in the car, hand the card, they hand you back the card and receipt, and you drive to the campus of University of Oregon, and then your GPS tells you that you have to drive through the college, which basically means that you're like driving on pedestrian only roads.
Uh-huh.
But you're allowed to drive on those roads for delivery purposes.
Oh, okay.
So then you're very glad that your delivery van has the name of the business on the side.
It's like, hey, you know, it's cool, you know, it's official, man. Yeah. You know.
And then you drop the paintings off, stop, take your co-driver to get a slice of pizza, drive to an abandoned parking lot next to a river.
Yeah.
Eat lunch.
In a van by the river. Anyway, sorry.
and then drive back, stopping once to pee. Okay. And that's the movie that you never see. That is not going to be Fast and the Furious 7.
No. Damn.
It's like the slow and the not really mad.
It's like the worst part is when we got, you know, unverbally chastised by a big pen. Damn it.
Yeah. And and there was one moment on the drive back where I was listening to the news and it was the most boring story on earth.
Oh, God. And I thought our story was boring.
And
this is worse.
And the always boring story.
Oh.
But yeah, and so then I, but on the way back, it started out interesting enough about how the government is not going to let Amazon deliver via drone.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that they were thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to deliver they had this plan to where, you know, you'd be able to order stuff and it might even show up at your house an hour after you ordered it or 2 hours after you ordered it and it would be delivered via fucking air drone.
Oh, that's fucked up.
But the government has decided that they will not allow drones to be used for commercial purposes.
Aw. That sounds cool, though, but, you know.
Yeah, in a way, but also, you know, quite frankly, if Amazon starts doing drones.
Yeah, then everybody's going to want a drone.
And then pizza drones, and there'll be so many drones in the air.
Yeah.
That can you imagine? It would. I mean, like Elizabeth said, actually, that's probably a good thing. Or what I'm about to say was probably a good thing, but I don't know. Because then TSA would then want control over all the drones.
Yeah.
Or not even necessarily TSA, but Homeland Security.
Oh, yeah.
And so it would either be just this gross hassle, or then the next thing you know, that people are just going to start filling drones with C4. You know, so you get like a dirty bomb with your pizza.
Oh, gross. I mean, I just didn't want, you know, the TSA or Homeland Security to know, you know, what kind of pervo shit I'm ordering from Amazon, because then they're going to know.
I mean, exactly.
And that's just between me and Amazon, you know, what kind of weird deviant toys I'm buying.
Yeah, and I was about to say, and there are times where you're like, you know, if you could get the you know, Buzz 5 gear within an hour, you know, it like, I want that now. You don't understand.
I need my butt plug now.
You don't understand. You know, this is my birthday. I didn't realize I was going to get this gift.
Oh, God. And then they'd get it mixed up, you know.
Oh, yeah. But,
it's like, what just showed up to the kids' party? Oh, dear Lord. An inflatable butt? What is this? I don't know. Flashlight? Oh, gross. He's not old enough for that yet.
No.
My dad is.
Put a clown face on it.
Fill it full of helium. It'll be funny.
Kid walking around with an inflatable butt. Pin the butt plug on the butt.
You know you win when it pops, you know?
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about the putting a butt plug in the butt is all you have to do is get kind of close and it'll just slide towards the center.
Hey, you're a winner.
So the story, the boring story after that was actually the kind of interesting story, but the boring story after that is how they were using, because you can still use drones for private use, you just can't use them for commercial use. And so they were using a drone to explore this like wrecked house, this like historic house that had been fallen into ruin, and it was like so fucking boring that I did almost fall asleep at the wheel at one point.
Oh, Jesus.
And then woke up and was like, holy shit. Okay, let's go. I'm good.
You didn't see that, and don't tell the boss.
Time to turn the news off and turn on the music again.
Okay.
Because even though the radio of the 90s is alive in Portland, sometimes you'll take that over, you know, boring news.
Wow, you get 90s era? Man, you guys are on top of things.
We're progressive. I know.
Yeah. We said it like 80s music or 70s, and it's the same five bands. That's why I don't listen to the radio around here. You can't.
I will tell you a thought that I did have, though, on that particular road trip.
I've heard the radio already.
But think about it.
Locally, yeah.
But here's something just to think about. So in the – let's see. So Enter Sandman – came out in 1990.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
So when we
I remember being in Indiana looking and buying the single for it.
Exactly. That's why I know it was 1990. Because I was working in Indiana in 1990. So in 89 and 90. But yeah, this was 90. It was 90 and 91. So it could have been 91, but I think it was 90. Anyway, that neither here nor there. Anyway, it came out in the early 90s. So, in the 80s, when my father was listening to the oldie station in Mississippi, and the oldie station was playing things from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So, the 60s in 1990, or excuse me, the 60s and the 80s were 20 years away. So, if he was playing stuff from, like, say, like if they played the Beatles, which they played a lot of the Beatles, that stuff from roughly, you know, 65-ish, 67. So that stuff is roughly 15 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. 1990, however, was 24 years ago. Enter Sandman is older now and still played on regular radio than what our parents listened to as oldies on the oldie station.
Interesting.
Just throwing that out there.
Huh.
And what I'm throwing out there is not that everybody should now be like, oh my God, I feel so old. That's bullshit. No, what I'm saying is we should throw away our culture and start over more often. You know, just go, you know, fuck it. This stuff should be on an oldie station. Let's create a new kind of oldie station.
Yeah.
Because if you still want to call oldies oldies, fine.
Yeah.
Let's call this something else. We'll call this. We'll call them moldy oldies and oldies.
Because moldy oldies are, you know, even older.
Yeah.
Or the, you know. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. No Generation X oldies. That just nothing tied in with that. That just sounds terrible.
That sounds terrible. But we should take all that shit that people raised in the 80s and 90s just can't stop fucking listening to.
Yeah.
And let's just get it off of our stations.
Yeah. And a radio station should have an expiration date on what they play.
And for those of us who want to listen to things that are newer, and we don't necessarily want to listen to old Metallica and old Cure and Morrissey and fucking Maroon 5 from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We should have a station where we can listen to stuff that's being done now. God damn it.
I agree. I could actually keep up with, you know, something new every once in a while instead of having to filter through like you said earlier, and having to filter through all this older, you know, stuff I've heard a thousand times, it'll actually, you know, keeps me from listening to the radio, because like, oh, god damn it, I have to listen to this, and I might get one song out of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Between, you know, the loudmouth DJs and the loudmouth commercials.
Get the lead out, mandatory Metallica.
It's like, oh, god, yeah. It's like, hey, you know, right at this time point, just play something. Fuck.
Yeah, I fucking hate, you know, you listening to the radio and all of a sudden you hear the, and now it's time to get the lead out. Because stations from do that from fucking probably all over the world, but they definitely do it all over the United States. You know,
yeah.
And you always know, as soon as you hear that, it's like, time to get the lead out. And then you're going to hear, I mean, it's never anything new. I mean,
yeah.
Of course it's not new. I don't mean new because Led Zeppelin's not recording anymore. But it's never one of those that's not one of the six songs they play all the time. It's going to be that, or rock and roll, or Stairway.
Yeah, even the edited version, you know, because, oh, we can't play the whole thing anymore. We've got a break for commercial if we did, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, but I've been told. You know, or you get, or you hear Kashmir, and that's about it. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a two-disc, you know, Zeppelin greatest hits album, because, you know, I don't know why. but, I mean, Led Zeppelin is a good quality band. It's just they were overplayed in on the radio, and like only those five and six songs.
Yeah,
it's like if he had ever played something else, you know, he could expand on it. It's like Rush, you know. It's like, damn, you know, they've got some good stuff, but you never hear it on the radio. You don't even hear it on XM radio.
Although
I occasionally get XM radio, I'll only get that in my work car.
Oh,
but
well, we were talking.
And sometimes it pops up for free, so I'll listen to it for about a week, and then it fades out again.
Well, right now Neil Gaiman's about to do a show in at Carnegie Hall, where he's reading a short story and has a band playing music. And Elizabeth was like, I think there's some kind of light show. What she meant to say is they're showing the illustrations behind him.
Oh.
But that did conjure up this great image of Neil Gaiman actually having a light show. And just standing in front of a podium and having laser lights, and then Neil Gaiman with like a orchestra playing, you know, well, you'll know exactly what song it is in a moment, and then just going to the podium and going, today's Tom Sawyer, excuse me, I meant to say, modern day warrior, mean strive. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean stride. You know, his mind is not for rent, but. Don't put him down as arrogant. He deserves a quiet defense. He knows changes are not permanent, but change is.
And I would totally go see this.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Fuck yeah, I mean, a Neil Gaiman laser light show. You know, even if it's just reading, you know, Rush lyrics. I mean, that would be fucking fantastic.
With an orchestra underneath him going, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah. Yeah, and not just a band, you know, like a cover band, but an actual full orchestra.
Orchestra, exactly.
It would have to be.
Well, yeah, because the songs that we were saying would be the most awesome were, of course, the stereotypical laser show songs like Tom Sawyer and Kashmir, or, as Elizabeth said, we don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. And, of course, the defiant... Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
Ooh.
Which is not really a laser show song. It's more of a, that's more of a, like, air show song or truck show song. But still, I just want to hear, Neil Gaiman read it like a monologue.
That would be fantastic. Dude, call his agent. I mean, I can't call him directly, but, you know, I might could get to his agent and who would quickly hang up in my ear. But, it's, you know, the idea is there.
I talked to him for all of 2 seconds once.
Yeah, so, dude, you should totally do a laser light show with orchestra. What the hell is that?
Call me. Here's my card.
I'll set it up for you, man. It's awesome.
We'll podcast it. It'll be great. Okay. Love you. Bye. Okay.
Yeah, that's when you're getting escorted out of the building, you know, of course, you know.
And I think with that fantastic idea. Between that and creating a new kind of radio, I think it's time to drop the mic and call it a week here at Mars Needs Podcasts.
Yeah, give me something to think about. Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, and Neil Gaiman, if you're listening, and you might, we're easily found at
MarsNeeds@gmail.com. Nice segue, Jason.
You're welcome.
Neil Gaiman, you can also leave a message at the website of doom.com. Or Mr. Neil Gaiman, you can reach me on Twitter at JJ Hawkins.
Yeah, or, you know, we're here on Facebook. We're not that hard to find.
Yeah, we use our real names.
Yeah, no codes, you know.
We don't have a Facebook page for Mars Needs Podcast because I just never really feel like anybody wanted one.
It's like, yeah, you know, the website of Doom has one, you know, that kind of covers everything.
Yeah, so Neil Gaiman, you can reach us. And this, I'm telling you, this is printing money. Printing money.
Making it rain here. That's right. That's me making it rain. Yeah.
So
flinging money. Like.
I'm saying, just Neil Gaiman, you and I, between, you know, with this idea, you know, with Jason and Elizabeth, because we all came up with this together. Together, we could start a joke that gets the whole world laughing. Yoikes in a way.
I started a joke, which started the whole world crying. But I didn't see that the joke was on me. Oh no, I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me.